Welcome to the latest episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Marina Antunes of Roastbeat.com and Quieter.us, joined today by fellow returning co-host.
Returning co-host, Dale McLadry from Each for All, The Cooperative Connection, now an award-winning radio show.
I was going to say, you have to put that in. That is so awesome.
We were really stoked. I mean, we were really, really stoked.
That's fantastic.
I kind of felt like Sally Field. They like me. They really like me.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, because you, how long have you been with the show now?
It's just a little over 2 years, I think.
And they've been around for a long time, right? And they've never won anything before.
Yeah, like the show's been on for 10 years. It started in Victoria and it moved when the guy whose baby it was moved to Vancouver. He brought it with him to Co-op Radio. And now, I forget how long ago that was. That was, I want to say 6 years ago, something like that.
What I'm getting at here is when you came on, they won an award. So this is the conducive thing is they won because of you, is what I'm getting at.
I thank you for the accolades, but it really was a team thing.
You're being modest.
The other host, he and his wife just had a little baby girl. Cutest little thing. So he took a month off everything.
Oh, okay.
I had to stand in for a lot of the stuff that he was doing. And I can tell you, like, if there was not two of us, it would be it would be an award-winning nothing. It really
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah. Well, podcasts are. We are not joined today by Colleen. You guys are tag teaming. This thing. Well, mind you, we are recording in sort of the middle of the week, and she is tired from plumbing duties.
Yeah, everyone's schedule's gotten that much more complicated.
I know, right? It's been kind of crazy. The weekends are kind of insane until basically like the middle of March. So I don't know what happened.
My schedule is finally, well, with Robin on his paternity leave.
Made it extra hard.
My schedule got crazy. And yeah, like, and I'm working on that second radio show too.
So yeah.
It just, everything kind of came together for insanity. I'm hoping, and actually, and I was thinking, even with all the crazy in my life, I think it approached your base level of crazy.
I don't know about that.
I don't know how you have those full weekends like you do, because I'm looking forward to a weekend where, like, I have brunch and I have games night, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I really miss those weekends. I don't know if we've had one of those weekends in a really long time, because there's always something to do. Because we're so busy during the week, it's like during the weekend, we do all the other stuff that other people do during the week.
And back when I was following people on Twitter, it's like even your break weekends, it's like, oh, we're at this store. Oh, we're going down for a border run. Oh, yeah, it's like, holy.
No border runs for a while.
Oh, man, the dollars.
Ugh. Well, and not just that. I didn't renew my passport. I'm like, fuck it. It's not happening.
Wow.
I'm not going down there. I'm not. I refuse to. I have bad-mouthed enough politicians that I'm sure they would let me cross anyways. Seriously. It's like, lock her up. Because I'm not giving... Oh, God, that's the Hillary thing. Because I'm not giving anybody my passport to anything. So, fuck you.
Yeah. I'm wondering what I'm going to do about phones when I go over, because I'm not wanting to hand over. Well, and even if you do, you could, like, lose it for a while.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's more than...
I was in the Women's March.
Oh, good for you.
It felt really good, yeah.
That's awesome. We almost came down, because we're pretty far from downtown, but we almost came down on the Saturday for that, because I thought it was pretty important. We never got around to it, but in solidarity in Coquitlam, I was there.
Awesome. Sorry, dear listeners, we're catching up on...
Yeah, exactly. It's been like 2 months.
It's been 2 months.
Yeah. So it's been a long time. But let's jump into things, because it's a really busy month.
It is.
I'm actually kind of excited that you're here for this month, because there's a lot of stuff that I want to pick your brain about. So this is good. Because, you know, for some stuff, Colleen is kind of like, she just doesn't care. So it'll be nice to have a little bit of banter. Let's jump right in with the movies. Now, I'm going to try to get this up before or on Friday, but if not, it may already have opened. Either way, the movies for Friday, March 3rd. And we'll kick things off with what it seems to be the beginning of the summer.
Really? Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? The month has a lot of big stuff. But kicking things off in style with Logan, this is James Mangold's, well, maybe not his final film, but certainly Hugh Jackman's final film as Wolverine after 17 years
and
as the character.
I just read Patrick Stewart, probably.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the movie is fantastic. I saw it. I can vouch for its amazingness. I told my dad he had to see it. I'm pretty sure it's probably the only superhero film I have ever recommended to my father. It's fucking amazing.
Will it supplant The Sound of Music? Nothing can supplant The Sound of Music.
No, it's a different kind of thing. Like, my dad likes his action movies, like action-y. And this is very action-y. But it's also a really good story.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
Yeah. Great character work. It's a really interesting universe because it takes place in the future. I really like the bad guy played here by, what's his name? Oh, God. Boyd Holbrook. He's kind of like this soldier for hire. All the soldiers seem to have some sort of like nanotech or, you know, enhancements. It's just a really neat universe that isn't really explained. You're dropped into the middle of things. And it's just a really, really well-told adult story.
Oh, my God. They respect the audience's intelligence?
Oh, my God. It's really, really good.
That's just not right.
I know. And the thing is, like, if this is the future of comic book movies, I am so in. I doubt it will be. I think it's more of an anomaly. But it's just, it feels like the next level.
Well, occasionally we get these outliers that
we do
prove that the formula works. So,
like, I'm still a fan of The Incredible Hulk for that reason. Like, it's one of these movies that feels more based in reality. And this one even, is that the one?
Which one? There were two, right?
Yeah, I think I might be getting them mixed up. The Hulk, the one Eric Bana as the Hulk.
I think that's the one I like. I still haven't seen the Norton one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, the one I really like, I think it's just called The Hulk. I think The Incredible Hulk is the Norton one. But, like, that's still, I think, as far as, like, based in reality and, air quotes is probably, my favorite.
Directed by Wu, wasn't it?
Lee. Nope. Ang Lee.
Ang Lee, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of cinematography and imagery that was evocative of an Ang Lee, a lot of subtle things, and not so subtle things.
Yeah.
Like the end sequence was kind of understatedly amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. Like, I like, don't get me wrong. I am the biggest fan of the X-Men movies, except for maybe the third one, which is really fucking terrible. But
that was United, right?
Yeah, it's really bad. The one that Ratner directed, which is terrible. But I mean, in the world of the superhero movies, the X-Men movies are always my favorites because they tend to push the boundaries a little bit more, and I think that's the creatives behind them. This like really does feel like an outlier because it feels like the evolution of the comic book movie the superhero comic book movie because it's more like, there are no tights. Like, it's an adult film.
Which
just has these, like, sci-fi and X-Men universe things crammed in it. And it's fucking amazing.
I think your volume is really hot. Your light is flashing like crazy there.
I think they just flash like that.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. I have liked all of the X-Men movies in the moment.
Yeah.
I have not felt especially compelled to rewatch any of them, which is kind of a surrogate rating system, I suppose. It's like, enjoyed it enough to see it again, you know, enjoyed it enough to actually buy a copy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so far, not many of them have made it into that second. I may watch the first one again.
I've seen them a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So especially with your recommendation, I'm definitely looking forward to this.
I say throw this movie your money. Give them your money. We won't see any more of Hugh Jackman, but we might see a sequel of sorts. It's really good. Highly recommended. Also opening on the 3rd, The Shack.
You know, when I read the description to this, I was like, oh God, this sounds awful. And then I watched the trailer and I'm like, I kind of want to see this. Not kind of. I want to see this.
You want to see this? I'm on the fence. I like this cast.
Yeah, I mean, that was the most compelling. That was the biggest reason.
So the story here, it's based on a book, a best-selling book, I should add. It's about a grieving man who like gets a message from God to go to the shack. It stars Sam Worthington in his dramatic phase. He has done drama well, so we'll see how this plays off. But I mean, I really like Octavia Spencer is in this, Tim McGraw is in this. It's a really good cast. It still feels a bit too saccharine for me.
In the trailer at least, they don't actually say God, but the implication is pretty strong. And they seem to be handling it well, that's the problem. Like we always say, like trailers don't necessarily give you an idea of what the movie's going to be. Definitely, it was a light touch in the trailer, and the dramatic moments in the trailer were working for me. So I'm interested in this movie.
Again, I'm not sure. I every time I see the trailer, I'm kind of like, wow, this movie. I just don't know. I mean, I'm hoping for the best, but I'm certainly not holding my breath. One that I am really excited about, Before I Fall. I'm a huge fan of this book. Lauren Oliver is kind of a genius when it comes to YA writing. She really is fantastic. I read this a couple of years ago. The thing that impressed me the most is the fact that she manages to make a supremely unlikable character really, really redeeming, which is so hard to do without playing off as like dumb. Apparently, the movie kind of succeeds in that as well. It played at Sundance to good reviews. Stars Zoe Dutch as the lead character. Basic premise is this girl is involved in a car accident. She dies, and she is in a Groundhog Day kind of loop where she's determined to live the same day over and over again until she figures out.
It's funny how that's become a genre now, right?
I know, right? The Groundhog Day genre.
The Groundhog Day genre, yeah. Yeah, I was on the fence of this. Like, I kind of like the repeating loop kinds of things. But maybe it was just the way it was handled. It didn't immediately kind of jump out at me. So I'm on the fence.
This gets bonus points for being directed by a woman.
if someone invited me to go see it, I would probably go. But there's no way there's no way I'll go on my own. And if it happened to land in my lap, I might watch it, but I don't think I would make an effort to go find it.
We're going Tuesday.
Damn it.
Also on the third, Table 19.
Okay, I am looking forward to this one.
I'm just not sure. We flipped-flopped on this one.
This could be a flaming hot mess of a wreck.
Or it could be really funny.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah.
And I mean, the fact that it has Craig Robinson and Anna Kendrick gives me hope.
And Lisa Kudrow.
And Lisa Kudrow, who's pretty awesome. But for me, it's really all about Anna Kendrick and Craig Robinson. They're both amazing. I hope it's good. The trailer is... I think, it looks really funny. And I'm like, but
have we even said the name yet?
It's called Table 19?
Table 19.
Oh, maybe not.
Table 19 at a wedding. And
all the leftover people that you don't know where to shove.
It's all the people that it should have replied no. Or put it table 19, according to the trailer.
And there usually is that table.
Usually is. And Anna Kendrick has a special, special kind of reason for being at that table. And the trailer is kind of a little bit all over the place, but
it could work.
It really has the ingredients to be awesome.
Agreed. I think if they've given the actors enough leeway to kind of like improvise some of this stuff, I think it could be really, really a hit.
Well, and I think the other thing too is how they play the gags. Like if they at all feel real, it's going to be a hit. If they feel contrived or kind of put together,
the thing is going to fall apart fast. So.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out enough.
It doesn't feel like a farce. Like.
No, it certainly doesn't.
It has to have that grounding in realism and not go too hyper crazy.
Agreed. Also opening on the third, The Last Word, Shirley MacLaine, the great Shirley MacLaine as a bossy businesswoman who always has to have the last word.
A control freak, yeah.
Control freak, that's the word I'm looking, the phrase I'm looking for. She decides that she cannot leave her obituary to chance after she's dead. So she's going to talk the obituary lady into writing it before she dies. The obituary lady happens to be Amanda Seyfried. It looks really charming. I'm super looking forward to this. I just love a good Shirley MacLaine movie. Who doesn't?
I do. I haven't. I don't think a movie is promised to be as much fun as when she played, like, what is it, Tess?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I got some vibe, and I really actually like that movie.
Yeah.
But the story, if you were to read the story, it would feel really contrived. But when you see, especially Shirley MacLaine, but yeah, all of the actors, this just looks like it could be a big winner too.
Agreed. I think it looks great. I'm really excited for this one.
It's interesting how I read a story actually about obituary writers like going the way of the dodo, like really good ones. I don't know if you've seen those as well.
I did not see that story. I did see a story recently. I think it was Planet Money did.
Yes.
The like favorite. Things episode,
yeah,
and one of them was one of the women was talking to the obituary writer for some, like, I remember thinking, really, for that? It was like I think it's some sort of money mag, like The Economist or something.
Yeah, like a big deal financial newspaper.
Yeah, a financial newspaper. And I thought, really? And the woman turned out to be amazing.
It was an amazing interview. That was the second. There was the Planet Money interview. I'm glad you remembered that because I was trying to place it. And then a written article talking, okay, about obituary writers. Yeah, it's like, wow, like I just never even thought.
Ditto, like whoever.
So you'll have to link to that Planet Money thing.
Yeah, right? Because her Prince obituary is amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's the one they talk about on the show and it's great.
And honestly, part of the appeal of this movie was like having heard that podcast. Suddenly, yeah, the whole topic sounded a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, it sparks something, right? Also opening on the 3rd, My Scientology Movie. This is John Dower's documentary on Scientology. Now, my gut feeling is nobody needs to make another Scientology movie between Alex Gibney's documentary and the Remy, is it the A&E Scientology
remember.
Thing. Leah Remini.
Okay.
She left Scientology and then made a big documentary about it. And it was like on A&E, it was the biggest thing. And it was really, really good. So between those two, I really don't think we need anything else on Scientology. That said, this trailer is hilarious. Because the guy, this Lewis Theroux, he's British. This is a BBC co-production. And he's obviously a bit of a shit disturber. I think that's kind of his shtick.
He's definitely playing it for like...
This, yeah, is it. Wow. So like...
Let's stir it up and then just play...
Exactly. So it feels like more of a comedy than a documentary per se. And yeah, for that, I think I might actually want to see it because it looks like it could be fun. But yeah, I mean, it's not... It doesn't really feel like a Scientology documentary.
When I started watching it, I was like, I had to double check. It's like, is this a mockumentary? Mm-hmm. Like, this is starting to feel, it's like, no, it doesn't say it is.
But that's totally what it feels like. You're totally right.
Like that dueling camera scene was just like, really?
Yeah. Like, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I'll turn it off when you turn it off.
Yeah.
No, you turn it off. Yeah. You turn it up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much insight it's going to provide into Scientology, but it certainly looks like a lot of fun.
At this point, I can't imagine much.
No, exactly.
It does look fun.
Also, putting on the 3rd, Donald Cried. I can honestly tell you I have absolutely no fucking idea what this movie's about.
Oh, man.
And I've seen the trailer twice, and I still can't.
I didn't even make it through the whole trailer.
It's just not for me.
It was
just not for me.
Some guy goes back to his hometown and hooks up with a sort of friend to winds up by accident, I think, and then they're rekindling. And then it just seems like a stream of consciousness stuff happens.
Yeah, it's just weird.
And it got a really...
It's just got strange.
It's got a really peculiar sensibility about it, like a particular style of joke that doesn't work for me. But
Army.
If it works for you, watch the trailer. If it works for you, it could be...
Your pot of gold.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. I just don't understand it. Also opening on the 3rd, Catfight. I kind of wish this trailer looked better because I love these actresses.
Yeah, Sandra Oh, Han Aish.
Exactly. So they play two college friends who haven't seen each other for a long time. They obviously had some sort of falling out. They meet at a fancy party and they break out into a cat fight, and it's the funniest thing ever. It's hilarious.
But is there a whole movie here?
This is it. I'm just not sure. I'm not convinced there is. I'm kind of curious to check it out just for in hopes that maybe there's something here.
I don't know what it is. I just always want to root for Sandra Oh.
Me too. Me too. So that's why I was kind of hoping this would be better. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's great. It just, the trailer is just not particularly good. Also opening on the 3rd, Wolves. This is Michael Shannon's new movie. It's not actually about him. It's mostly about his son. So he plays a gambler, a chronic gambler, who is basically taking all of the money out of the family savings, including his son's education fund. His wife, played by the wonderful Carla Gugino, who's always amazing.
She's, and I'm always happy when you say her name. Yeah, I'm a real fan.
She's great. I love her. And she plays the wife, and she's trying to keep the family together. And then it turns out that Michael Shannon has taken all of the money, including the kid's tuition fund. He goes to he's a promising athlete going to an elite private school. And, you know, the whole family dynamic starts to deteriorate. I thought it looked pretty good. Solid, quiet little movie. Michael Shannon is always good to watch, and so is Carla. She's fabulous. So
this totally isn't my kind of movie. No. Just not. Too many feels.
Too many feels.
Oh, too many of the wrong kind of feels. I don't know.
It feels very dramatic with a capital D, and I'm kind of okay with that.
Well, I think for me, it's the themes. I'm really not interested in those kind of like life falling apart themes, or seldom interested. And this one was that whole deteriorating family dynamic.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, the trailer didn't sort of indicate that there was any redemption here. So yeah. I'm not quite sure how light this is going to get, if at all.
Sometimes, yeah, like the, there have been movies that I have watched that have been just totally non-redemptive, and you know they end badly for everyone, and I've enjoyed it as a whatever. I mean, yeah. I'm not even sure I can describe why I enjoyed it, but for the most part, yeah, they don't particularly work for me.
No. Also opening on the 3rd, Junction 48. I must say, I wasn't sure what to expect from this, and I'm kind of looking forward to this one. If I can ever find it anywhere, it looks kind of neat. So the whole thing unfolds in Israel, and it's the romance, budding romance of two aspiring Palestinian rappers, or hip hop artists, really, not necessarily rappers. And it looks kind of awesome.
I love the premise.
Yeah.
The tunes kind of work for me. Hip hop doesn't always.
Yeah.
I don't have enough of a sense of the story to know. Like, I think if I would totally invest in something that was like 20 minutes long. I don't know if I want to invest in an entire movie.
It's only 90 minutes.
It's only 90 minutes, but still, if it's a one-note wonder, I'm not interested. But it really does promise that it's going to be more than that.
I think so. I mean, I certainly hope so. I really, like I said, I didn't know what to expect, and I really like the trailer. So
there's a lot of really interesting themes in there. Like, you have some of the gender theme going on. You have a race theme. You just have like the whole volatility of that area.
Yeah,
and those were really interesting. And the music was definitely like,
yeah,
Bobby, like not bad too.
Yeah, exactly. And then wrapping up the week, Contemporary Color. I have to admit, I am not 100% sure what this is. I know it's the guy from the Talking Heads put together a concert event thing where he invited a number of artists together and a number of color guard teams to perform. Now, I say that like that because I didn't actually know what a color guard team was. I had to look it up. This shit's awesome. You've got live music, dancing, and flags. I'm in. So far in, it's like they made this movie for me. I'm game. Like, bring it on. I can't wait.
This is like, it really does feel like summer.
It totally does feel like summer.
Here's Marina's dance movie.
Pretty much, right? Right? It's like Drumline with dancers with flags. It's pretty impressive. And it looks like it's not just like a concert doc. Because they follow some of the teams behind the scenes as they prepare for the big presentation.
Yeah.
So yeah, it totally has like the step up vibe. I'm so excited.
And it does look like something, you know, given the performances you want to see on a big screen because it's teams.
Exactly. And there are a lot of flags and it looks super impressive. Yeah. I cannot wait. This is so my thing. I didn't know what it was when I watched the trailer. So great. Moving on to March the 10th.
I feel like we should just phone Colleen for just this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Colleen, come in, Colleen. Yes, P. Kong Skull Island. The dude that made Kings of Summer gets a Kong movie. I still don't know how that works for guys and not for women. Fuck you, Hollywood. Okay, that's my middle finger, politically speaking. Okay, Tom Hiddleston leads. I think he's just a hired gun. Whatever. He and Samuel L. Jackson and Brie Larson, Oscar winner, Brie Larson, and John C. Reilly end up on Skull Island with a giant thing that looks like King Kong. I'm sure shit blows up and crap. It looks really cool. Toby Kebbell is Kong in full costume. Motion cap thing.
I was really hoping Colleen could make it for this one because I think this is definitely inspired by, if not a remake of Monster Island.
Okay.
Which was like, you know, like in the Japanese monster genre kind of thing. It looks like it's set in like the 80s or earlier.
Yeah, I thought it kind of looked like maybe the late 70s.
Late 70s, yeah.
Like that's kind of my feeling.
It's not contemporary.
No.
There's a whole bunch of little hints in there, although they're using contemporary. Were they using? Oh, I can't even remember now.
No, neither can I, to be honest.
You know, I when this started, I was really keen. And by the end of the trailer, it was like, I'll catch it on video.
Well, I'll say this. Toby Kebbell is awesome. I think he might be better at this motion capture thing than motion capture king. What's his name? Gollum guy. Name just totally escaped me.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis.
Thank you.
So he's a contemporary of Andy Serkis. He's been in all of the Planet of the Apes movies. And he's very, very good. So, I mean, I'm certainly interested to see what they've done with the technology because it seems to be improving with every film. I just wish I was more excited for the movie. It just kind of looks like a lot of crash bang.
Well, that, exactly.
Like, I don't see any drama. And it's going to be a lot of Samuel L. Jackson just yelling, which is cool.
Oh, I hope not.
For, you know, a limited amount of time. And then I just lose interest.
I mean, we have Hiddleston and Reilly also
who could
do the yelling. You put your thumb on the reason why this didn't thrill me. The way that the trailer was cut and the other stuff I could find, it really didn't look like there was a story. It was just like an action-driven thing.
No.
And I love those in my late teens, early 20s. Now, I don't know. I have a hard time keeping awake.
Yeah, they have to do something really interesting or there has to be some sort of story that works for me.
Something about the action. Like, yeah. I still like... what was it? Cranked with Statham. Like there was something that would had like zero story, like the thinnest thing of a storyline. It was all action, but it was like they kept throwing things in that kept it interesting.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of the action sequences now don't.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is it. So I mean, it certainly looks good. We'll see if it actually delivers anything of interest. Also opening on the 10th, I'm so excited for Raw.
I was wondering. This isn't my movie at all.
Weird, man. So it's written and directed by Julia Ducournau. I'm sure I messed that up. The story follows a young woman who's comes from a family of vegetarian. Veterinarians. She goes to this elite school to train. She's introduced to meat for the first time and it awakens something in her.
Well, at a hazing, and it's like some pretty gross looking stuff.
It looks awesome.
And yeah,
Cronenberg lives on.
It I'll say this: I don't often see the kind of scene where she's just slowly starting to bite into someone who looks like her lover, and the blood starts to come out, and
like, it's like rabbit all over again. I love it.
And it was just like so slow and deliberate. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Bring it on. I'm super excited. Our Indian Phil, I don't actually know how to pronounce the name of this, so I'm just going to pass on it. It looks like it could be fun. I don't know. There's dancing. There's action. There's lots of romance. Every once in a while, I watch one of these Indian Bollywood movies that actually like hits a sweet spot for me. I only need one or two of them a year, so this one might be it. It might not. I have no idea. Also opening on the 10th, The Ottoman Lieutenant. I'm so excited for this. Can you tell? It's a period drama romance. Hi. It's like they put my name on it. Hello. And it stars Josh Hartnett. Really? Make it better. And Michael.
Ben Kingsley? No.
Michael Huseman, come on.
Oh, we're still talking about the hotness. We're not talking the about the talent.
Oh, okay. No, the hotness factor. Oh, well, he's pretty talented too. I do like him. He was really great in Orphan Black, and he was in Age of Adeline. He is really, really good, and he's Canadian, so bonus, hey. So the story unfolds in World War One in Turkey.
Turkey, yeah.
A nurse falls in love with a Turkish officer. It looks beautiful and romantic and awesome. And yeah, Ben Kingsley's in it too. I'm game. It's from the guy that directed Sleeping with the Enemy and Money Train. Really? Sign me up. Sleeping with the Enemy is still one of my favorites. I cannot get enough of that movie. I watch it every time it's on.
Really?
I'm not even joking. Sleeping with the Enemy is amazing. Have you seen it? You've seen it, right? You've never seen Sleeping with the Enemy?
No.
Julia Roberts as a battered housewife who takes off on her husband in the middle of the night. She has this like elaborate plan to get away. It's fucking amazing.
I have not seen this.
I cannot believe you've
It was probably in my Julia Roberts hate phase.
Maybe. I can't remember if it was, I'm assuming it was shortly after Pretty Woman, because I think that kind of opened the door for her, really, because she'd made a couple of movies before that. So it's kind of in that Pretty Woman phase.
Yeah, that was kind of peak Julia Roberts, and I was like,
I love Sleeping with the Enemy. I mean,
she has since like that. I won't say won me back, but
I love her.
The hate is gone.
Yeah, I love her. I genuinely love her. Except when she's playing a Portuguese woman with a really nasty accent. Damn you, Mystic Pizza. And that's your fault because you introduced me to that movie. Yes.
Which one was this?
Mystic Pizza? I'm pretty sure this was you.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, somebody recommended it. I was pretty sure it was you.
I kind of remember us talking about it, but.
Well, whatever. But yeah, that's the only one I'm not a huge. I still like it. I'm not a huge fan. But yeah, Sleeping with the Enemy is really good. Also opening on the 10th, Personal Shopper. Olivier Assayas is making a. I want to say it's a ghost movie. I'm not 100% sure if it is.
Well, that, yeah.
It's weird.
It may or may not. I mean, when you're doing a horror movie and I can start to spot some of the genre tropes, you'd better be playing a meta game there for
Let me put it this way. I watched it. I came out of the theater. I'm like, I'm not really sure what to make of that movie. Bill explained it to me. Melissa explained it to me.
Oh, you
like,
saw this at the film festival.
Yeah, I still didn't really understand it, and I could not stop thinking about it. I saw it sort of mid-festival.
Okay.
I still think about it once in a while. I'm like, really? Was she really texting? It's weird. It's really good, though.
You know, it's funny. There are, I don't know, and I can never remember the names, but I think there's maybe two or three movies that I've seen. Oh, one of them is that... the guy that did Pie. Oh God, I see no memory at all. I can't even remember the actors.
Is it the one about the drag?
No, it actually had Hugh Jackman in it and Aronofsky.
Yeah. Oh, you're thinking of the one with Rachel Weisz.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
Okay. Fudge.
I can't call that a great movie, but I still think about it. And there's, I come to the conclusion that like in my head, there is a special honored place for movies that just keep me chewing on things.
Yeah.
Even if I can't necessarily recommend the movie or call it a great movie, if I'm thinking about it that much, it's got it's a special place. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Assayas. I mean, I didn't particularly love Claudia Sils Maria. I thought the performance was great, but I just didn't understand the whole like meta thing that he was playing at. My argument is it's too French for me. It's a little too sophisticated. I just didn't get it.
Oh, the other one is the Villeneuve movie.
Which one?
With Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Prisoners, which I really like.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, you're thinking of Enemy, the one that's really Enemy. Fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is awesome, by the way.
I don't know.
So this one is a little more straightforward. Kristen Stewart plays a personal shopper living in Paris, and she is there, and she won't leave because she's waiting for a message from her dead brother. Because she thinks that they have...
Because they made a pact.
Yeah, and they have... She figures that they have some sort of like...
Connection.
Extrasensory connection. It's really well shot. It is a lot of scenes of Kristen Stewart like shopping for clothes. It's beautiful. She's really good in it. The movie is kind of a bit weird, but it totally delivers the goods. Like, it's kind of creepy, but not really scary until like the very last scene. And then it's genuinely creepy. I say see it because it's just worth seeing. But yeah, it's weird. It's really good though. Also opening on the 10th, The Sense of an Ending, again, based on a book from the director of The Lunchbox, which right there sold.
I've never seen it.
I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's amazing. You need to see it. It's really, really good. It's Indian. It's a love story. It's like an hour and a half long. It's beautiful. Totally highly recommended. So same director. This one stars Jim Broadbent as this older gentleman, a friend of his from high school has left him a diary in his will. He goes to pick up the diary. It opens up a whole like door to some mystery that happened when they were young. So you have like the two storylines, the present.
Yeah. Oh, and plus this friend stole his girlfriend.
Girlfriend. So yeah, there's a lot of like
stuff
going on. I'm totally game.
This caught me.
Yeah, me too. One, the cast is great. Two, the story sounds really interesting and great director. So yeah, totally sold. Also opening on the 10th, The Other Half, our girl, Tatiana Maslany.
That was the only thing that attracted me to this movie.
Yeah, kind of, right?
Yeah.
So it's the romance of a couple. She's an artist who also happens to be bipolar, and it is basically their struggles. It'll either appeal to you or it won't.
Yeah.
I'll see it because of Maslany, but I got to say the trailer didn't really do much for me.
Did not sell me in the least.
Yeah, me either. Also opening...
Now for your share of batshit crazy.
Oh, Uncertain?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this documentary looks weird. So the Uncertain is actually the name of a town. They joke that you have to get lost in order to find it.
Yeah.
There's like 200 people in this place. There aren't enough women. I think maybe it's just men. There are a lot of men in this trailer.
That is what they say.
Yes, okay.
And when you see some of the men, and it's on the bayou.
Yes.
I don't know, I think it's... But swampland. Anyway.
Yeah, swampland for sure.
I don't know if it's technically bio, but it's definitely swampy.
It just looks like this amazing documentary about this strange place that you just cannot believe is real.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, I don't really know if I want to see this, but I got to say the trailer kind of intrigued me.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? When like the characters that they're showing you, it feels like these guys are made up, but
yeah.
This says it isn't made up.
Yeah, it certainly looks interesting. I'm curious to check this one out.
I am intrigued. I don't want to see it in a theater, but
I am definitely intrigued. I might fall asleep if I saw it in a theater, but I don't know. It's the kind of thing that kind of just piques this weird interest for me. it's like one of these weird places.
It's the weird factor.
Yeah, it is totally the weird factor. Like this place exists.
Although the one other thing there was the one character that they showed, man that they showed, he had either a very strong accent or a speech impediment, and he seemed like he was legitimately trying to reform.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that they were treating that quite with the respect that it, to me, it seemed due. So
yes, agreed.
I had that one small niggling little warning flag, but I mean,
it could have been just an edit for the trailer.
It still could have been
an
edit, and definitely a documentary does have a story arc. And yeah, it was not revealed in this at all.
No, it was just they were like, playing the weird factor.
Look at this crazy ass cast of
pretty
characters.
Pretty much. And that was enough to sell me. So, hey, it works. Also opening on the 10th, Suntan. Okay, so I did not expect to have any interest in this movie. And then I watched the trailer and I'm like, okay, there might be something here. So it's centered on a doctor who ends up in this island. He's the only doctor on the island. Things seem to be going great. The women love him. He's a doctor. He's successful. He has like a party atmosphere. And then he falls for this woman and things do not seem to be going right. And there might be like some sort of shady stuff going on. All of a sudden, the thing goes dark, and I'm like, Jesus, how did they just sell me on this movie? I still don't really understand.
I was interested, and then I wasn't interested, and then I was interested. I don't know.
Me either. I really don't understand it, but they've somehow managed to impress me. I totally want to see this now.
Yeah, and it's a foreign film, and it's subtitled. So
yeah, I think it's Greek.
Greek, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely Greek islands.
I just hope that they don't, that the mystery that they kind of hint at in the trailer doesn't disappoint, because it does certainly feels like it could go pretty dark.
Yeah.
And that's really appealing.
Yeah, if we can actually find this.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on to the 17th, and oh my God, it's happening! Beauty and the Beast! I will only get more excited.
The much anticipated Beauty and the Beast.
It will only get more exciting when they actually make the Little Mermaid, because that is my favorite of the Disney
movies.
The
live action Little Mermaid.
The live action Little Mermaid.
Do you know, just found this out today, actually, because reasons at work. The city of White Rock has mermen in their coat of arms.
No, really?
Seriously.
Well, this shit just got real, man. I'm writing this down, City of White Rock.
But you know, literally the only reason I was paying any attention to this at all was Emma Watson was in it.
And she's awesome.
She seems to have really good taste, sometimes a little bit highbrow maybe, or not, maybe highbrow is the wrong word for it, but not like that cult movie that she did. I was totally Colonia. Not interested in, but the fact that she was doing like a Disney flick, that kind of got me interested. And I watched the trailer and I'm like, oh my God, this isn't Kryptonite.
So, she stars as Belle, Dan Stevens.
Yeah. What can you say about it? It's Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah. He's the Beast.
Well, and it's live action. It's not cartoon.
No.
It's musical.
Yes. Apparently there is new music.
Really?
Written by the same team. Well, half of the same team, because the other guy died. And apparently it came out today. There is a gay kiss. We should have known it was coming. It is Bill Condon. But this shit happens.
Well,
it
happened in a Disney movie, though, too. So.
Well, this is why
it's a branded Disney movie, not one of their studios.
Exactly, which is why it's such a big deal. And Bill Condon was talking about today how he wanted that. He thought that was important to the story. And I'm like, oh, my God, this thing just keeps getting better. I cannot wait. It's only 2 weeks away. Yeah, I'm very excited. Can you tell? Yeah, Girls' Night is definitely happening. Also on the 17th, the boys can go to Trainspotting 2. Because I refuse to call it what it's actually called. Because what the fuck? Really? T2 Trainspotting? What is that?
I don't know. You know, I haven't. Here's another movie I haven't seen. I haven't seen the original Trainspotting.
I haven't seen Trainspotting in a very, very, very long time. I do love this cast, though, and everybody is back. It's going to be really great to see them all together again. More shenanigans. They're just older. and now they're all huge movie stars.
Yeah.
So that certainly like adds another layer to things. So I'm really curious to see how it goes. And I mean, Danny Boyle still has that level of kinetic energy. Like, that still comes across in his movies. So I'm really curious to see how this one plays out. It's been well received in Europe, so it certainly is boding well. Also opening on the 17th, Elser. This is a World War II German flick from, what is it called, 13 Minutes?
Yeah, that on too. The one I'm looking at, yeah. 13 Minutes.
Yeah, when I printed it, it was called something else. Okay. Sorry. So yeah, it's from the director of Downfall, which is for a long time was the go-to World War II Hitler movie. Apparently he's trying to outdo himself. I don't know why you would bother. The real-life story of a guy who attempted to blow up Hitler. Legit.
Yeah.
Looks good. Not sure if I need to see another movie about somebody trying to kill Hitler, but sure.
This is a movie that I should be like really excited about, and the trailer didn't do much for me.
No, me either. Just don't know.
Yeah.
Also on the 17th, the Belko experiment. I'm stoked.
You know, I read the description and I wanted to hate it, and then I saw the trailer.
How can you hate that fucking trailer?
I was like, oh God, this isn't a remake of like a half a dozen Tower movies. This looks.
You saw who wrote it, right? James Gunn.
That name didn't mean enough to me.
Really? Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, that gun.
That gun. That James Gunn. So written.
That starts to explain things.
So written by James Gunn, directed by Greg McLean, who was the Australian horror master behind Wolf Creek and Red Hill. So it's about a group of corporate employees.
What is it? Battle Royale meets the.
Pretty much.
Tower? What was that movie that you and Colleen were so excited about where the. The Filipino police had to battle.
Oh, yeah. Fudge. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so premise of the story is like the... Oh, yeah. One of the descriptions I read was like Office Space meets Battle Royale.
Yeah, that seems about right.
These drone office workers are in a building. Suddenly, the whole building locks down and they hear an announcement. Either... U-70 people kill each other down to 40 or we're going to kill 60 of you.
No.
And then the fun begins.
Yeah, all shit goes crazy. I think it just looks like so much fun.
Like I said, I read the description and I'm like, oh, really? And then I don't know what it is about the trailer. It isn't like the trailer was like a well-shot mayhem. No, but
I think what it is, it's a combination of things. Like McLean shoots a really good movie. Like he makes horror look really great. And Gunn has a real knack for dialogue. So mix those two things together and you're bound to get something vaguely entertaining. And that's certainly the suggestion here. I cannot wait. Let the blood flow. The blood flow. Also on the 17th, I didn't manage to watch a trailer for this, but I put it on my watch list solely because of the director. I'm a really big fan of François Ozon. This one is France. It's about a young German woman who grieves the loss of her fiancé, goes to France and meets a Frenchman, and maybe starts to fall in love. I'm sure it will look beautiful. He does romance really well. So solely, literally for the director, I put it on my watch list.
I didn't find a trailer either. So yeah. There you go.
Also on the 17th, Betting on Zero. Okay, so I'm not really sure how I feel about this. it's like this weird movie about two Wall Street guys who hate each other's guts, who are using a company to basically get back at each other. The company happens to be what I consider to be a pyramid scheme called Nutrilife, which I did buy into a long time ago, like another lifetime ago.
Herbalife.
Spent like $200 on one of these stupid kits. Never made my money back. God damn you, Herbalife. So, I mean, it certainly feels like a pyramid scheme from people on the inside. The documentary feels like it looks like part uncovering this Herbalife mystery. They have a bunch of people because it's very, very popular with immigrants and people in like South America because it's like the scheme where, you know, the more you sell, and the more people you bring in, you make money off of everybody else. And so you get these poor people that invest thousands of dollars that never manage to make their money back. So it's part documentary and then part this story about these two big Wall Street guys who like have it out for each other and they're using the stock to basically bring each other down. It's crazy. It's just crazy enough that I'm totally interested.
You know, you see these guys are compelling. Like it is really fascinating when they're on the screen doing their screes. Like these guys are compelling.
Yeah. I'm totally game.
I'm really curious, yeah.
Okay, awesome. I'm not alone. Yay. Also on the 24th, moving on to the 24th. Okay, I'm still not sure how this happened. They're making a Power Rangers movie.
Live action.
I still, like, I've seen the trailers. I know what's happening. I know there's real live people in it. I still can't quite believe it's happening. Because Power Rangers.
I know, right?
For real. Like, seriously?
I was with you, and then I watched this trailer, and it's like, oh, shit.
I know. It doesn't look bad. This is the other thing.
I could actually watch this.
I know. That's the really scary thing. It doesn't look totally terrible.
And some of the dialogue, like, as long as they didn't use the best dialogue in the trailer, some of the dialogue is pretty good.
I know. This is the shock.
It's not taking itself seriously. Like, they're having fun.
Well, I think that's kind of like a given with Power Rangers. Because, I mean, if you've seen any of the original show, it was always really tongue-in-cheek and kind of cheesy. Right? So, I mean, I think they have to stay in that realm.
In a very kiddie cartoony kind of way, though. I mean, that I would not expect them to try and take that to the big screen necessarily. And definitely some of the cartoons they've redone have not gotten that treatment.
No, exactly. And I mean, they have done other Power Ranger movies based on the show.
Just consider Transformers, right?
Oh, well, yeah. But I mean, Power Rangers, even when it was on, was a live action show. Do you remember Power Rangers?
Oh, wait a minute. You're right. Sorry. Power Rangers was not when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, and it was kind of...
No, but you're right.
I'm too old for it. Like, it came out just as I was starting to move away from TV.
Why did I think it was a cartoon?
I mean, it might have been at some point. I think it has had a number of iterations. The version that was popular when I was in high school, well, kind of early, like, or mid-90s kind of thing, was like this live action kind of cheesy thing,
yeah,
with weird like funny costumes and weird monsters, and it was super cheesy but kind of smart.
I had never heard of the Power Rangers until they had the Christmas shortage of the action figures.
Oh god.
Right? And then there was just this kind of back when that doesn't happen so often anymore, but usually like every Christmas it felt like there was like something that
there was the one toy everybody wanted.
And actually, a couple different years, I think it was Power Rangers. Or one year it was one particular color of Power
Ranger. Probably the green Power Ranger or something. For whatever reason, he was the favorite.
I don't know.
All I know is, one, I can't believe they made a movie. Two, I can't believe it doesn't look fucking terrible.
I know. You can't write this off out of hand.
No, because it actually looks
I can hear Colleen's voice going, well, I can write this.
Yeah.
But,
it'd be actually kind of interesting if she was looking forward to it as well. That would be hilarious.
Oh, man, yeah.
That'd be something.
No wonder we got winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, one of the other really kind of fun trivia things is Bryan Cranston was actually in the original, series. Yeah.
Oh my God. That shouldn't surprise me.
So he's kind of actually coming back.
Full circle, man.
I had to double check that I'd remembered that correctly, because I couldn't remember where I'd read that. And so I checked IMDb and it's like uncredited.
That's hilarious.
Some character.
That is so awesome. I was actually listening to an interview today with the woman that played his wife on Malcolm in the Middle.
Right.
And they were talking about how Cranston is now in a position where he can basically do roles because he wants to. And he's talked about that quite a bit, about how he was pretty smart with his money when he was younger. So now he's kind of set. So he doesn't have to worry about paying the bills. He can just do the roles that he wants to do. And sometimes there are batshit crazy roles that, you know, nobody would ever consider he'd be interested in doing. And that's really cool.
You know, and again, like, some actors seem to be really smart about the roles that they pick. And although when I was going through, man, you want to see someone who's been like career look at Cranston's credits.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. I was just scrolling and scrolling. Yeah. It's like, wow. Yeah. I don't remember him in.
Yeah. I mean, he's a working actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. And that's what he considers himself, and it shows in his filmography.
Yet another weird-ass tick, like, okay, if Cranston's doing it.
Elizabeth Banks.
And Elizabeth. Yeah, yeah, she's another one. Yeah. Yeah.
I just, like I say, I should
Somebody give her, like, a full-on movie. My God, like, the a cappella choir one.
Oh, yeah, Pitch Perfect.
She was involved with, like, yeah.
No. No. Also on the 24th, Life. Oh, bring it. Do I really need to explain this? It's Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal in space together.
A space horror together.
Sold. I don't even know. They discover life on Mars.
We probably, that's all you need to know. Yeah, and it's not a happy camper.
No, who cares? They put Ryan Reynolds in a spacesuit with Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. Are you for real? Like, it's like they cracked Marina's head open and said, who else can we throw in
shit
here?
Shit goes horribly wrong.
Yay. Can you tell I'm excited? Bring it. I'm game. Okay. Chips. Really? Do they really need to remake
Chips?
Well,
this is in the same vein as 21 Jump Street, baby.
Only worse.
You're right. I mean, only worse.
Okay, so full admission, I don't remember Chips.
I remember watching Chips.
It was before my time. I said to Dan, do you remember Chips? He's like, oh, I love Chips. He was not impressed by this trailer.
Do you know, I can still hum the theme song, which is
oh, my gosh, should we put you on the spot?
No.
Oh, come on, no. Do it.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed by this trailer either.
So, directed by Dax Shepard, who also stars... It's about two motorcycle cops.
Well, yeah. So Chips are what they call the California Highway Patrol.
Oh, okay. That's what
and
it stands for.
They did, yeah, a TV. It was actually, I think it was in the 70s, was a TV show on that with two characters. One was a rookie, so they had to ride together. That was actually one of the funny things about the show was as soon as one of them passes probation, like they usually ride alone.
Okay.
But the whole show was premised on these two guys riding together. Wow. So this guy could never pass his probation.
I still can't believe Michael Peña.
Eric Estrada.
Oh.
Played Poncherello, who Peña's playing.
And I mean, I like Michael Peña, but really? Like, yeah, it's just dick jokes, ball jokes, underwear jokes,
yeah.
Really bad action. I just don't know who this is for. Not me. Definitely not.
Yeah, it's like they tried to make Hot Rod, but
failed miserably. Horribly. Miserably. Also on the 24th, Wilson from the director of The Skeleton Twins. I'm kind of looking forward to this.
I don't know if I want to like this or not.
It looks kind of like quirky.
This was the other one where like there's moments where it's like, oh man, I have to see this. And then moments where I'm like, not so much.
So Woody Harrelson plays a neurotic, I think that's the correct term, right?
Yeah, that works.
He plays a guy who reunites with his estranged wife and discovers he has a daughter he didn't know anything about. I like Woody Harrelson, so I'm totally in it for him, to be totally honest. Skeleton Twins I thought was kind of cute. It had its moments, but I didn't love it. But really, it's all about Harrelson for me.
I think this is pretty much rests on his shoulders from what I can tell.
Yeah, and if he's as acerbic throughout the movie as he is in the trailer, I think I might be okay.
He was nailing it, I thought. I mean, the things that made me less interested were, again, some of the topics. Like some of the topics I was in and other directions it seemed to be going were just like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't need to see this.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Okay, also opening on the 24th, Prevenge from Alice Lowe, her directorial debut. You may recognize her. She was the star, one of the co-stars of Sightseers. It's about a woman who is very, very pregnant, and her baby starts to talk to her, encouraging her to kill people.
I didn't find a trailer for this, but I was really intrigued. Yeah.
Oh, dude, it looks amazing. It's actually, I'm not quite sure about the theatrical release. I think it might be limited. It's also being released on Shudder, which is available both in the US and Canada. It is a streaming service specifically for horror fans. They do have a free trial. I think it's like a 1 week trial or something. It's really inexpensive, like $4 a month or something. They have a really great lineup of movies, so I highly recommend it. And now they're showing, they're carrying like new stuff. So Prevenge is being released on Shudder. Highly recommended. It looks awesome. I can't wait. Also on the 24th, The Leveling. Wasn't quite sure what to make of this. And then the trailer kind of took me by surprise. Story of a young woman who returns home after the death of her brother, only to discover, like, basically her entire family has, like, gone off the deep end. Turns out her brother killed himself, and her dad is...
not in a good place.
No, not at all. And she's kind of dealing with all of this for the first time. Really looks like a really powerful performance, and this is the kind of movie I like. Quiet dramas with strong female leads, kind of working their shit out. I'm digging this a lot.
Not my kind of movie.
Not totally for me. It's got my name all over it, so I'm kind of hoping to check this one out. And directed by a female director. Bonus! Also on the 24th, Slamajama.
I can't wait till we get to the point where we don't have to comment on that.
I know. It will eventually get there, maybe. A sports movie about a guy who gets out of jail. He was an aspiring sports star, goes to prison, apparently wrongly convicted, comes out, and decides to enter a competition to win $25,000.
Yeah.
And it's about them, that, I don't know. Not really for me.
Wasn't for me either.
Basketball fans might want to check this out, maybe? I don't know.
It had a whole particular kind of underdog vibe going for it, like In the Hood and that kind of thing. And those movies have historically not appealed to me.
Yeah, it's not really my cup of tea.
And there was nothing kind of standout-ish in the trailer that
was the other thing.
Me.
Yeah. I mean, even if the movie doesn't really appeal, the subsequent doesn't really appeal, if the trailer is good, sometimes it like kind of piques my interest in another way.
Yeah, you see like a compelling
way.
Chemistry or performance.
Exactly.
Or something.
But yeah, this one kind of just
seemed pretty
left me
by
cold.
The numbers.
Agreed. Closing off the month, a couple of biggies. Ghost in the Shell remake from Rupert, well, remake live action. You know, have to keep throwing that in. Starring Scarlett Johansson as the major, coming to us from the director of Snow White and the Huntsman. All whitewashing conundrums aside, this looks fucking awesome.
I was pre-sold until I saw the trailer, and now I'm not.
What?
I don't know. I mean,
what?
Actually, I would love the whitewashing thing on this particular movie is really fascinating and almost worthy of like a decent sidebar discussion, but not,
it totally is
not here, not now.
I'm totally on the side that I don't think it matters in this particular movie.
Actually, based on the stuff that I read, and particularly since the Asian people that the articles I read quoted, like it was the way the setting and the stuff, they weren't particularly concerned, but
they were more pissed off about the fact that there was some like bad translation on a poster for the name of a restaurant or something or a hotel. I'm like, really? That's what you're upset about? Okay.
and the whole, yeah. So I think I'm more with you than not. I'm still not 100% like concluded, but I have seen the original movie and I found it a little bit atmospheric. This one, I don't know. I was not captured by the trailer.
I'm so excited.
I love the subject matter,
but
I don't know that I was, I'm hoping it's just a bad trailer.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on the fence mostly because, okay, I'm not on the fence. I'm going to see this regardless.
I think I am too.
I'm pre-sold on this. I'm not sure. Like, I really liked Snow White and the Huntsman. I think Saunders can build a good universe. And they've certainly thrown enough money at it that I think they can do a good job of it. I don't know if they can capture the feeling, like the, I think the atmosphere is the right term, of the anime. But I don't know if that's ever going to be possible because it's live action anyways.
Well, and my sense of the anime movie was, it's one of these movies, it's sort of like The Exorcist. It was really a function of its time. Like
that as well.
Like,
yeah.
Like the whole subject matter was really mind blowing.
It was cutting edge at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's
old, been done to death.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That you've nailed it.
I don't know that they can, you know, they can't remake the movie and have the same popularity.
Exactly.
Sticking too close to the script. Like they have to like try and distill the spirit of it and make it topical.
Yeah. So, I mean, I certainly hope that they've managed to succeed.
There's still a lot of like, yeah, really interesting themes to explore in there.
And Johansson tends to pick stuff that's kind of like heady.
Yeah.
When she's not playing Black Widow.
Oh man, that one in Scotland.
Oh, the alien one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
kind
shit's
of freaking
crazy.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. That shit's crazy.
That's when I knew she could act. I was not quite sure before then, but.
She's good. She's good. With the right material. And I tend to think that I will trust her judgment. So I was going to see it anyway. So I'm game. Okay. Can I just read the description of Boss Baby?
Go for it.
A suit wearing, briefcase carrying baby pairs up with his 7-year-old brother to stop the dastardly plot of the CEO of Puppyco. Puppyco.
Yep.
A baby and a 7-year-old.
Yep.
Only in an animated film.
Yep.
And I'm still not interested.
Really?
Not at all.
This is another one. I saw the trailer and I was like, oh my God, I just might have to watch this.
I couldn't roll my eyes hard enough.
Really?
To be totally honest. Just everything about this just rubbed me the wrong way. I do not know what it is. Just nothing about it worked for me. Nothing. And it's a really good voice cast.
It is an excellent voice cast, yeah.
But I just cannot. I think the whole conceit, I just can't
the
buy
whole,
into it.
I don't know. The whole idea of like babies wanting to like fight with the puppies because they're getting too much attention for being adorable. Like the two adorable things are competing with each other.
I mean, I have no problem with Stewie Griffin, but I have a problem with this. I don't know why. I really like it. I can't figure out why. It's just not working for me at all. At all. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
The at all part is kind of like, I can understand like this is definitely going to be one of these things that it either tickles your funny
exactly.
bone or not.
Yeah. It's just
but
usually,
the fact that it's like at zero going
it's
down.
Zero. It's zero for me. It really
I
is.
I think it's going down from zero.
No, I don't think it's going down. I don't think it can get worse than zero. It's just zero interest, which is weird because usually like there's some vague like semblance of, oh, well, you know, it might work. But yeah, no, nothing for me.
I mean, the reality of this is like, unless I have somebody's kid to babysit, I'm not going to see this in a theater.
I could lend you a baby. Not
this
mine.
Is definitely something like if you're going to see it in the theater, you better have a kid with you.
Yeah. Should we just jump over Stepsisters? Because it doesn't like the story does nothing for me and there was no trailer. So
yeah,
there's a movie called Stepsisters that's apparently opening, though nobody knows what it's about.
Let's jump to the awesome Jessica Chastain.
The awesome Jessica Chastain in a movie directed by a woman with a mostly female cast. Yay. This is The Zookeeper's Wife, about a woman who is the wife of the owner of the Warsaw Zoo. And not long
World
War II. Yeah. So
Nazi
she is.
Invasion.
She is saving Jews at the zoo. It's Chastain being awesome. Really, that's all there is. And cute, cute animals.
Yeah, I think that's probably about it. Yeah.
I'm game. I was game at Chastain. So who am I kidding?
Things get better, things get worse.
Exactly. And then wrapping up the month, a very, very artsy movie.
No interest. My God.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm back and forth on this one. So this is Cézanne and I. It's the story about French artist Paul Cézanne and Émile Zola. You're either going to be interested or not. It's a period piece about
two old white French guys from the past fighting with each other. Yeah, this is riveting.
Wow. Can you feel the condescension? It's in the air. All right, that's the month. So locally, there's a bunch of stuff happening. We'll quickly just round down the list because the show is running very long because it was a long month. So at the Cinematheque, Bruce McDonald's Weirdos. If I am not mistaken, this may be the local premiere of this movie, playing March the 17th to the 22nd. I may just have to check it out. It is McDonald doing a period, a road trip period piece. It's based set in the 70s, so that should be fun. Cinema Sunday this month is Hockey Night. This is Megan Fallows' movie. I think it came out just after Anna Green Gables, where she plays a girl on a boys' hockey team.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. playing Sunday, March the 19th at 1 p.m. because it's part of Canada's 150. It's a free screening. So if you're going to go, show up early. And actually, we'll fast forwarding to April's Cinema Sunday. They're playing Anna Green Gables miniseries. We are so lining up for that shit. It's not even funny. I emailed my girlfriend. I'm like, this is happening. We're going to have to show up really early because it's a free screening. Yeah, that's happening. Also at the Cinematheque and a union from the Steps to the City, screening one night only on the 23rd. It's a documentary about a group of Mongolian musicians, which looks really interesting. And then The Skyjacker's Tale. This is James Kastner's documentary about the a massacre in a country club in the U.S. Virgin Islands in the 70s. It looks like it could be really interesting. It's playing the 16th, the 22nd. At the Van City, they've kind of changed the way that they organize their lineup. So first up is their Beyond 150. This is a celebration of Canada's 150th anniversary. They're screening a bunch of Canadian movies, including Angry Inuk, Kanishitake, 207 Years of Resistance. This is Alana Sabonsway's documentary, which she made a number of years ago, which is fantastic. Screening for one night only on March the 7th. That same night, Obonswain will be in town with Amanda Strong, who is a, I believe she's from Alberta or Manitoba. She's a young filmmaker. She makes animated short films that are stop motion. They're absolutely beautiful. They are, and she happens to be First Nations as well. They're having a conversation. And I don't know if it precedes the film or if it's before, so I'm not sure. You'll have to check that out. But on the 7th, and also The Fast Runner, the 6th and the 7th are really busy at the Van City. Also screening at the Van City, Pedro Almodovar's Julieta from the 27th to the 29th of March, Esaias's Personal Shopper from March 24th to April 2nd, Raoul Peck's I Am Not Your Negro, the fantastic Oscar-nominated documentary, screening from between March 1st and the 21st. My Life as a Zucchini, Claude Barraz's French stop motion animation, which is also Oscar nominated, playing from the 1st to the 17th. Keddy, this is the documentary about the cats in, I want to say it's Egypt or somewhere.
Oh, that, yeah.
That one. Yeah. It's playing the 13th to the 23rd. Ang Lee, speaking of Ang Lee's Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, which got like lambasted when it was released. I don't know if it's available on video. It had a very, very limited release because it was shot on 250 frames per second or whatever it is, and it was only showing at like a handful of theaters. Apparently it's not very good anyway, so maybe that doesn't matter. Playing on the 13th and the 16th.
It's a very interesting movie. It has a very different
Seen it, yeah. And is it worth checking out? Because I've been on the fence and I wasn't sure if it was something I should search out or not.
It's a conditional thing. Like, I'd forgotten that Ang Lee had directed it. Actually, it's kind of ham-handed for Ang Lee. It wears a few things on its sleeve too much. But
okay,
it is a very interesting exploration of that whole dynamic of like coming back from a war zone and being lauded, but kind of stuck into this narrative that everyone wants to define for you.
Yeah,
and not. Wanting, that would be the core of the film, actually, was everyone is defining a narrative for this guy, and it has nothing to do with the reality of where he's at, and no one seems to want to listen to where he's at except for like the other people that have been through it.
Yeah.
And the conclusion of the movie is not what you think it's going to be.
Oh, okay. That sounds interesting.
So yeah, if that kind of exploration interests you, then absolutely. But it's not a typical Hollywood flick.
Oh, I might have to check that out then. I'm totally sold on it now. Finally wrapping
up. And Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, I know. She was in it. Always a good sale. Hello Destroyer, Kevin Funk's award-winning Canadian film about hockey team, playing March 21st to the 25th. And finally, I do not know why this is in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day. They are doing a one-day screening only of The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford on March the 20th at 12:30 p.m. Again, I'm not quite sure why it's in
that
the middle.
That is a weird...
It is like literally, I think it's like a Thursday. Oh, it's like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And I am seriously considering taking the day off to go because I have not seen that movie theatrically since it came out.
March 20th is a Monday, actually.
Oh, it's a Monday. Oh, well, I might be able to take that off. I'm seriously considering this because I think it would look amazing on this big screen there. And it is one of my favorites. And I noticed that you brought it up. I like kind of looked in passing at the Just Film Festival, which is also happening at the Van City Theater. I kind of looked at their lineup. It's all films about...
Social justice.
Yes, social justice. That's exactly the word the words I was looking for. I didn't really see anything that appealed to me, but it might be of interest to.
Yeah, same here. Like I don't universally like anything on that theme. Occasionally, there's some real standouts though.
Yeah.
I didn't see any in this particular lineup, but I didn't look really close either.
Yeah, I kind of just skipped through it. And I there was a couple of things that kind of looked vaguely interesting, but nothing that kind of went, must see that.
Yeah.
So, but we will link to the website so you can check that out. It's March 30th to April 1st. And that's the month.
That's the month. It's there's
a lot going on.
I cannot believe it's like March and we're getting these big tent movies.
Summer is here. That's either good or bad. I don't know.
We can hope. I mean, man.
The weather doesn't suggest much. God damn it. But it is what it is. Anything else before we kind of call this thing?
I think we should put a bow on it.
Let's do it. So come on by roll3.com. Check out the links to all the trailers, the ones that we can find. Stay tuned. We will hopefully be back before the end of the month with another show. And hopefully we can make it all together.
Oh, that would be so nice. Yeah.
For the April preview. Fingers crossed.
It's like, I haven't seen Colleen since 2016 either.
Yeah, it's kind of been like that for the last
while.
I know it is pretty terrible, but hope we were going to try to fix it by going to the movies, but the two movies that we were going to go and see have been delayed. So I have no idea when My Cousin Rachel is opening now. And the other one, the Tulip Fever, has been pushed until like September or something for an awards push is my guess. So, it'll be a while before we get together for the movies, I think. but yeah, so come on by and we'll see you next time. I have forgot how we end the show.
Oh, yeah.
Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Oh, there. It works. Tale as old as time. As it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change, small to say the least, but